We talked about having one more day. What if we were lost eternally and we got to come back for that one more day? Well, that's just not going to happen, as we pointed out. So today, think about it while we're living. Of scriptures together, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Life. We have it now. We have it, physical life, right now. From the first lesson, we talked about having that one more day given to us, and what would we do with it? What did Hezekiah, for instance, do with his? What did Dorcas do with those days? What did Lazarus do with the days that he had when he came back to this earth? What if the roles were reversed, though, and we had one more day with someone we knew that had left this life? And we had that one more day with them, and they were coming back. So I don't want you to think in terms of that, though, as we're studying this. I want you to think in terms of, yes, some people have lost people and have left. And what if you had that one more day? Think about that we're going to discuss today that might still be living. How would we use or spend that day? If I had one more day with blank, what would I do? What if, for instance, it was my spouse? Well, spouses are defined in the Bible. It's not like man defines them. We find in Ephesians 5, verse 25, that husbands have wives as defined, a man with a woman. So we find in Ephesians 5, 25, that a husband is to love his wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I would argue that there's not a man in this room that's married that has ever loved his wife like this. Why did he set that high standard for me? Because I need to shoot for that standard. Again, you might look at my life and say, well, that's easy. I can do it the way Abe does, the way he treats his wife. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to look at Jesus and how he treated the church and how he continues to treat his saved people, his wife. In Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, talking about wives, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Again, that high standard. For the husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church. And he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their husbands in everything. So there's a standard set. So my spouse, that's who it would be. In my case, it would be a wife. You women out there, it would be your husband. Would I spend that day with them, or would I just go away and ignore them for those 24 hours? Would I try to spend as much time away from them as I possibly could if I had that one more day? In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do we really believe what we say about our wives? Do we love them and we knew we had only one more day with them? Would we be willing to take that 24 hours and be with them? Would we willingly sacrifice our 24 hours so that we could be with them, husband or wife? Would we not argue that Jesus spends 24 hours, if He will, every day with us, His bride? Would I tell him or her that I love them more often and show them as well that it's not just a matter of me saying it? If I had 24 hours, how many times would I say it? 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, we can say all of these things, but think if your spouse was gone and then you had that one more day with them. Would I get angry with them as quickly? 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Would it be easier if I knew I only had one more day? Would I control myself? Would I complain as much about him or her? In my case, again, her. Proverbs 21:9, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. No, I'm not looking out at any particular women. If I'd looked up and I was looking at you, it wasn't intentional. The truth is on this, we don't have the same kind of housetop, but I was thinking about my housetop and I was thinking, wow, that 12-12 pitch would be a little hard to be on the corner of that housetop. But it'd still be better, right? Not my case. Sorry, let me take that back. Had nothing to do with that whatsoever. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I'll lift her up. And tell her how much I appreciate her, don't I? And I do it before others, and I don't just do it because I have to, because I want to. And if I only had one more day, would I spend more time in study and prayer with them, regardless of whether they were a Christian or not? Would I? Would I want them to have salvation? 1 Peter 3:9, husbands again, he says, and the last part of this, giving honor to your wife as a weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. I should want that, being heirs together. That we both have that same hope and that same promise that my prayers won't be hindered. And he's letting it be very clear that my prayers could be hindered because I don't do this. In 1 Peter 3:1, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. But I'll tell them again about Jesus Christ and what He did for them. I don't need to go into tremendous detail, do I? Do I need to just say to them, do you know, today I want to tell you something, that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary, and I want you to be saved just like I am. How about if I just had one more day with my parents? Some of us still have our parents. Some of us don't. Would I, if I were of the age to obey, wait just a second. Would I obey my parents? If my parents needed me to do something, even at this age, if they were still alive, and they came back for that one more day, would I do it for them? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If it was something that was honorable and something I needed to do, would I honor, value, respect them in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. When does that honor start? Right now. When you're old enough to know to honor your parents, you need to honor them. Now, I realize, again, I always qualify this, honor to whom honor is due. There's some really evil parents out there, and I understand that. You don't honor them in their sin, okay? But if you had one more day to be back with them, and they've passed from this life, would you not honor them with doing the best you could to value their time with them? Would I see to their needs? In 1 Timothy 5:4, if they had them. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable for God. Never was in their lifetime able to repay my parents for what they did for me. Never. And if I'd had more time, I still wouldn't have been able to. But would I spend that 24 hours if they had been good and honorable parents and had tried their best to raise me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Would I truly help them out? I know people that help their parents out even when their parents aren't necessarily deserving of it. Would I spend more time with them? In Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she's old. There's a song, I know you've all heard it, Cats in the Cradle. I won't say Cat Stephen, but I might be wrong saying it. I'm probably wrong about that. But it's about the idea of spending time with one another. And the father never had time for his children. And finally, guess what he reached? He reached a time when he wanted to do things with his children and they didn't have time for him. Would I listen to their teaching? Ephesians 6, 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Would I listen as they tried again to work hard on little Abe? Corky. As they tried hard to make him what they thought he should be, Would I listen more closely to them this time? Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." Again, talking about parents who tried their best to teach their children. Would I try to teach them if they were lost? Would I let them know about, again, Jesus Christ? What if I had one more day with my child? What would I do? Would it be all about just playing and running around and maybe if they were young enough, but would I show and teach them love? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Is that what I would do before my child if I had one more day with them, if they've left this life? Would I take time for them? And maybe this time around I'd be more patient. Really? Would I? Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." Problem with some of us fathers is, you know, we just stood there and was exact in what we knew and what we did. That's the way we are. I don't know, there's something about men. God made us somewhat that way, and I don't blame it on God at all. I blame it on me for being maybe not taking enough time and patience with my children. Not understanding that, but if I had them back, if they had left this life, what would I do? Would I make every effort to teach them? We use this passage the other way around, but would I actually bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord rather than the training of the TV and the iPad and the computer and the everything else? How much time would I actually spend in that 24 hours, do you think, trying to teach my children? Would I be concerned that it might be too much anymore? I don't think so. How about other family members, grandparents, brothers, sisters, etc.? If I had them back, how would I spend that day with them? Would it be any different than the way I've already spent those days with them? How many of us would make changes? How many of us are sitting here really thinking, oh yeah, I'd do it totally different the next time around. Oh, I would... Really? Just not real sure about that, are you, after we examine the life of the two rich men? Yeah, we could look at that, but you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Faith is not sight. Faith is based on the fact that we believe there's something better. So, how would we spend our day with them? How about a fellow Christian? Well, today I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, each one of you. I'm so thankful to have brothers and sisters in Christ, and I mean it sincerely. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. But I've actually had brothers and sisters leave this life, and I don't know that I told them how much I appreciated them. Now, it's no matter about their salvation. That doesn't affect it whatsoever. But it makes me think about, if they were back, would I change that? Would I tell them how much they had helped and encouraged me? In 2 Timothy 1:3 and 4, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy." We need to tell people how much we really appreciate them. You know, today, that was really good. I know several of you weren't in the adult Bible class, but it's good to have those types of discussions and to talk about God's Word and to tell each other what we're thinking, and we can help one another and encourage one another in getting back to God's Word and looking at God's Word. That's what it takes. I've had one more day. Would I assemble with them if it was the first day of the week? Or maybe I would think, you know, it'd be better for us to go to a Reds game or a football. I don't think so, do you? That's why we're here, isn't it? We realize the importance of, as Roger talked about, assembling around this table, together. We did it together on the first day of the week. It's what they came together to do, to break bread. Paul preached to them and continued his message in the midnight. And you think about this for a moment. Is that what we would do? Well, that's what we're doing, isn't it? We do have this 24 hours. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to be here. So if a brother or sister had come back to life, a Dorcas, a Lazarus, would we be here with them? I'm thinking yes, wouldn't we? How about if I had one more day with a worldly friend? What if I have this wonderful friend? I think about, I have so many friends that have left this life. And I think about the fact that they were not obedient to God while they were in this life. And, you know, God judges them. I have nothing to do with that. They've left this life. It's none of my business. But what if they were back for one day? Would I change? Would I love them enough to tell them about Christ? Think about this for a moment. Jesus. Who did He talk to? Who did He go to teach? When the scribes and Pharisees saw Him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to His disciples, how is it that He eats and drinks with, I think Mike substituted, Cody and sinners? And Cody immediately said, I'm not a tax collector. He is not the IRS. He may turn you into the IRS, but He's not the IRS. I'm just kidding on all this. But you think about this for a moment. Would Jesus be eating with me? Would I understand that I'm a sinner? That's what He's talking about. There's no righteous people on earth that weren't deserving of His or didn't need His sacrifice. They just didn't recognize the fact that they were sinners. They thought they were quite okay. When Jesus heard it, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. When it comes down to it, everyone needed the blood of Jesus Christ for their salvation. It's just that people, some people were accepting of it, and He loved them enough to go talk to them about their sin, and we see so many of them being very receptive to His teaching. But we see those Pharisees and scribes rejecting His teaching. So I have a worldly friend. I was thinking about a worldly friend of mine not too long ago who left this life. And does it still bother me? Absolutely. To this day it does. And again, he'll be judged by God. I'm not judging him. But you know, we do that. We think about it, don't we? So what did we do? Well, we know it's not possible today that we have one more day in this world with someone who's died. Those days are gone. Dorcas and Lazarus, that's different. That'll never happen in our lifetime. The truth is, this lesson is intended for me. It's to help me be more mindful of my relationships with other people. And you remember the story of the two rich men? Well, the truth is, every day, this day, I do have that. I do have it with the one who died for me. The reason I know that is because in Luke 16:31, He said to him, remember He wanted him to send Lazarus back, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one come back from the dead. Well, one came back from the dead. That's what He's trying to teach, a important lesson here. One is going to be coming back from the dead and going to reject Him. Those five brothers were not going to be obedient to Him as well. It's the story here. It really doesn't matter though one comes back from the dead. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and arose again to die no more. If we want to be with Him eternally, we must want to be with Him on earth. You remember Jesus saying this in John 14:23? If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home abode with him. The very same word as translated as mansions up above from the King James. Isn't that amazing? We will make our abode with Him. He will come and be with us if we will keep His word. But we have to keep His word. We can't just say, I want to do something. We have to do it. The question is today, I have this one day, right now. It could end at any second. So my plea is, if you're not a Christian, I need to tell you something. According to God's Word, you're not keeping the words of Jesus Christ. You need to listen to Jesus. You need to understand and know that He died for your sins. Do not make that sacrifice void today by not listening to Him. As your friend, I will tell you, you need to be obedient to the Word. You need to recognize Jesus as your Savior, as the Son of God. Be willing to turn today from your sin. You might say, well, I'm a really good person. Nobody's that good. Get away from sin, turn toward Him, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Now, why do I tell you that? Because that's what He told me from His Word. And I need to tell other people that very same thing. That's what will save you from your sins. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let it go by. No one knows how many more days they have. Those two rich men would love to have one more day. I don't know if they change or not. But I will tell you right now, you have an opportunity to change today. And as a Christian, if you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?